Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here comes the stream.
Here come the warm jets.
Here come old flat top.
That's a weird voice you're
Grooving
using.
Up slowly.
Shoot me.
Oh, gosh.
This is Penn Sunday School, and to our listening ears, all angels sing and round us rings the music of the sea.
Here we go.
Brothers, sisters, siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School. I'm Matt Donnelly. We're broadcasting from Show Creator Studio South here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And if you say Nevada, we will beat you in the street. That's our rule here in Nevada. We hate when people say Nevada. And I remember I once did that, and it got ugly fast. Here he is preaching the love, Penn Jillette.
Yeah, preaching love in Nevada.
No! Oh! God damn it.
When you go to the DMV,
yeah,
which I've been to twice recently because yeah, both children got learner's permits, so I would suggest staying home.
Stay off the streets.
They have a big sign that says, it's Nevada. Now, I forget which one is right.
Nevada is the correct
pronunciation. They say, it's pronounced Nevada on the walls of the DMV.
No overly accenting way of doing it, just writing the word.
No, they have it laid out.
Okay.
Nevada.
Okay.
So that you can't get it.
Oh. Nevada.
Nevada, yeah. I get confused. I say it right all the time.
I know.
Nevada. Yeah. When I first got to Nevada,
yeah,
we did a press conference, and I said Nevada.
Yeah.
To announce we were moving here. And the press people corrected me post-haste.
Yeah. I remember Jersey Boys has a lyric where, you know, Frankie Valli, when they're playing some podunk town, I forget which town they even name, but then say, and everyone would say Nevada because they'd all moved here from New York to be in the show. And the audience would audibly shout Nevada during the performance. And I remember when I first moved here, I was like, oh, come on, get over it. You know, whatever. And then a year later, I was one of the people correcting people by being like, it's Nevada, you asshole.
Yeah. And once I say it, I've trained myself, but then I get confused.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because, boy, if you're from Massachusetts,
yeah,
it's Nevada.
Yeah.
So change to Nevada is
not easy. Cape Cod. They traded letters.
Erica Avery.
Erica Avery is her name.
Greenfield, Massachusetts. Erica Avery.
The weak contest assassin.
She wins all the time.
You look
and you know, my friend, Carrie Coleman,
mm-hmm,
who wants nothing more in the world than to win the week contest. And now, because I've already won,
yeah,
I just send her my suggestions. And she says, we've got to put a hit on Erica Avery.
She's got to go down.
Yeah. She said, what's she doing in your town?
I tried to help. I tried to help. Was that any help? I was not any help.
I think she might have sent it in.
All right. We'll see.
She had some good ones.
Yeah.
But until Carrie Coleman wins, we're just going to keep pounding away. But Erica Avery, if anybody has a connection to Erica Avery, maybe we could talk. I mean, how much is it worth for her to send her suggestions to us?
I wouldn't think that kind of person would exist with a contest like that. I would think that even the week wouldn't want it to be the case, right? Like, we can't keep giving it to Erica.
Yeah.
You know, I would not think there'd be an outlier,
yeah,
in the week contest.
But I'm really into, I know I still have friends in Greenfield.
Yeah.
My high school girlfriend now lives in Greenfield. A couple of high school friends live in Greenfield.
Yeah.
And I've asked them, do you know Erica Avery? Because if she's that funny,
yeah,
wouldn't you think you'd know her?
Yeah.
Real, it's a town of 18,000 people.
Real
how many people
about town
of 18,000 are that funny?
Yeah.
I mean, when you go to, you know, Wilson's Department, which is closed, I guess, but when you go to like the little coffee shop.
Yeah.
Oh boy, Erica's there. Maybe she'll say something funny.
Yeah, one of the four lesbian-owned coffee shops she walks into. She must be like, Erica!
Yeah. You got a latte joke for us? I know she walks in and goes, I always like this a latte.
Just super quiet in the corner, never talks to anyone. No one knows her name is Erica.
Just typing
on her phone. Time. Not even on a computer, just quietly on the phone in the corner.
That's all she's doing.
Yeah.
That thing comes out at midnight. She's back.
Everyone just thinks she's some underpaid paralegal, not some comedy assassin.
Yeah. We're probably going to find out that from Greenfield, Massachusetts, she also writes Kimmel.
Right, because during the pandemic, you could live wherever you want and Zoom in or send your stuff in. Yeah.
Sitting in the lesbian-owned coffee shop, sitting over in the back, writing all of Kimmel's monologue.
I just have a Peabody, a Pulitzer. I don't know. I just crush it every day.
Erica Avery, please.
The week's my warm-up. Then I start doing my real work. It's like, you do Wordle. I wake up and just write 40 possible captions for the week and then start my day.
I don't let myself take a sip of the latte till I've written a dozen. I order it. I have it there.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. It's all there ready for me.
Yeah.
Don't touch it.
Even a little foam comes out of the mouth spout. I don't even lick that foam.
No.
I leave it.
Yeah. It's sometimes dripping. I say, oh, I got to write two more quick before that drip hits. And if I write two dozen, I get a scone. Cranberry. Because it's New England.
Yeah.
Massachusetts, you want a.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of my, my best joke I ever made.
Yeah.
Which I think I've told on this before, is when they, I love this joke so much and no one else does. Like the Dead Sea Lions.
Yes.
Which Dead Sea Lions, I thought, was a football team in Israel.
Yes.
It's a good joke.
It's a good joke.
Okay. I don't know if I've told this before, but it really makes me laugh. A guy gets an idea.
Mm-hmm.
He has a cranberry bog
mm-hmm.
in Massachusetts. And he's got his board of directors around. And he says, you know, we are making so much cranberry juice now that I think I can get the other growers to come with me. And I can put out a brand of cranberry juice that the whole world will know.
I'm uncomfortable.
The whole world will know this cranberry juice. I've got all the deals in place. All the deals are in place. I'm going to name the cranberry juice, but I don't have a name for it yet. And one of the guys says, sir, why don't we name it after you? You've done all the work. Why don't we name it after you? And he goes, the world's not ready for me. I don't want to seem arrogant. I don't want to name it after me. And they go, but why? Why couldn't we just put some sort of tip of the hat to you, sir? And he goes, well, tip of the hat might be okay. What do you suggest? And they go, why don't we do your name in Pig Latin? And he goes, okay. And they go, yes, Mr. Sproshen. Yes, Mr. Sproshen. Yes, Mr. Sproshen, we will name the cranberry juice after you in Pig Latin.
Ready, where's that end credit music?
Mr. Sproshen.
Mr. Sproshen.
Oh, yeah.
Ocean Spray.
Yes. That's his name in Pig Latin. Mr. Sproshen. That's great.
How am I? No matter what podcast I do, I have co-hosts who tell walk the dog jokes. Matt and Glenn's special told one that was so long, we turned it into a tapestry, and it's the number one selling thing in our merchandise. It's a 9-minute long monkey fireman joke that I don't remember the punchline to.
Sproshen.
Sproshen.
Mr. Sproshen.
Mr. Sproshen.
The mister in front of it kills me. Mr. Sproshen.
Mr. Sproshen.
He named it after him with a little humility.
Well...
It's not Engstein spray. Engstein spray would be a great name for cranberry juice, too.
Yeah. Well, very few people share a love of Pig Latin as deep as yours.
That's true.
Yeah.
You can almost always make me laugh with Pig Latin.
Yeah.
I love it.
And around a real, in fact, even when you work on your fancy Adam Sandler movie, someone will bring up the edit bay in front of you.
Yeah. I'll say, you don't have to speak Pig Latin. We can just call it a bedit.
I've never seen you take a pass on that.
Never. Never. One of my favorite things in the world.
I've never seen you lay off that for anyone.
And I even got a little bit into football because there was someone named Elway.
Oh, yeah. And Mr. Well is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Well is great.
Yeah, John Well.
He wanted to stand out from the crowd, so he didn't use the name Well. He went with Elway. And when I heard that, I go, oh. I mean, I hear Ashtray, and I go, oh. Yeah.
Well, that one's great.
Yeah.
Because Trash and Ashtray is pretty.
That's, really great.
That's really good. Yeah, really good. Yeah. I'm going to ask you whether or not I was a dick parent or
What is the it's questionpen@gmail.com?
Yes.
Questionpen, P-E-N-N, @gmail.com if you have any connection to Erica Avery of Greenfield, Massachusetts. Because she, I would have as a guest.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have to celebrate this comedy assassin.
Mm-hmm. And then and take her out.
And then... And every answer to who she is and how she conducts herself is fascinating. There's no wrong answer.
No wrong answer.
To Erica Avery.
No, there isn't. I could, no matter what you think of you, no. That'd be great.
Yeah. Even if it was like a guy named Tim who just thought Erica might win more contests.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And even if he's from Montana, I thought Greenfield, Mass. We're going to find out if Salman Rushdie living at Greenfield under the name Erica Avery. That doesn't sound too Indian or anything, Muslim or anything, does it? No, we're okay.
Doesn't point to anything.
No. Now, what did you do as a parent?
Okay. So my kid's a pretty good soccer player.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching their games, and what's driving me crazy is they just take forever to throw the ball in. Do you ever watch soccer? Your kids never played soccer.
They did for a week.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I laugh because like they don't know how to play yet. You know, my kids are 7 and 9. They don't know how to play great soccer yet. And so I laugh that there's a lot of thought going into where to throw the ball and get the ball in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the defense just, everyone just kind of stands around and runs around. And everybody just throw it in. And whatever happens. Who cares? And so I'm sitting there watching the soccer practice and I'm realizing it at this age level, you're not allowed to head the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Can't put your head on the ball. So I said,
it should be a rule anyway.
Yeah. Because of concussions and all the other stuff. Concussions. All the other stuff.
Hangnails.
Eye blemishes. So I said, you know, and he knows my pet peeve about throwing the ball in fast. Just get the ball in. Who cares? And especially him. I'm like, you're fast. I'm just go steal it from whoever catches it.
Mm-hmm.
But I go, you know what? After last practice, I said, if you can't head ball in this league, throw it at their head. I said, you're much better at kicking than throwing. So is everyone else on the team. If it's head ball, then it's your kick. It's a free kick.
So you're asking him to change soccer into dodgeball.
Yeah. And he looks at me like, what? And I said, you know, not hard. I don't want you to like be aggressive about it, but they're not going to know what to do. And then you can probably just run up and take the ball. So.
I want to hear so.
Yeah. So we're playing the game. Sure enough, he gets the ball and he almost looks at me and then he just goes to throw it in. Nice lob. Right at the other team's head. The kid panics, head ball, whistle. My kid gets a free kick. This is great. Next time he gets a throw in, he does it again, throws it at the head. The kid panics, tries to move back. Handball, free kick. Kick off the handball, leads to a goal. Final score, 3-2. My kid's team wins. I was like, do not tell your coach. Do not tell anyone we came up with this plan. But it's really funny that it worked.
Really? Plans like that never work.
I know. And he only did it twice, which made me feel. I was like, the whole game, I bet they would have caught on.
But he only had two chances, right?
He only had two chances because, you know, it's a team, and so everyone takes turns throwing the ball.
So if you told the coach and other people started doing it, you would get caught.
I think so. It was really funny.
Were you cheering?
I was so pleased. When the first head ball came around, I just started laughing really hard. sitting there in my weird fold-out camping chair with my little umbrella. So, yeah, I don't know. I felt bad, but it was pretty funny. It was the first win of the season. The rest have been ties or losses.
Now people are listening. They're going, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly. I just was like, it seems like a weird thing to do. And also because I left because they hold the ball and their kids, like they don't have plays. They're not running strategies on these throw-ins. They just sit there and just hope something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives me nuts. But just throw it in and just kick. Who cares? It's a 50-50 shot every time anyone gets the ball anyway. Like, what are we waiting for? I hate it so much. So
I was talking to LOD about how when you're raising children,
yeah,
you just check things off that they won't be.
Oh, yeah.
Like you go, oh, I'm not going to be a jockey.
Yeah.
First day at soccer practice, huh? Won't be doing that.
Yeah.
First violin lesson, nope. Right? Just check them off.
Yeah.
Here's what I'd like to know. How much money did Perry Friedman put on the game before he told you the strategy?
Especially because it was an upset win.
Yeah.
My son is a very good player on a very bad soccer team. This particular round. Well, he is, because this whole, you know, people like to bitch about the everyone gets a trophy thing. But I found it to be nothing but the opposite. That, sure, everyone does get a trophy. Every team gets a trophy at the end of the thing. But you end up is people want your children to be competitive year round in whatever sport they like. And then you have coaches who aren't trying to make them build character, aren't trying to turn them into better team players. They literally are just trying to like keep their wins and losses, like actually coaches who care about their wins and losses with 9-year-olds. And I like, that's so gross. Like, yeah, then fine. Give them a trophy. If they endure your mental bullshit of like teaching that winning at all costs matters when they can't even kick with their left foot yet. Sure. Then give them a trophy because they didn't endure that. But, and so my kid was already recruited to join some travel team. And then the travel team was going to play all these tournaments all over the state and practice 3 days a week year round. And he's 9.
All over the state of Nevada?
Yeah. Yeah. Teams from Cape Cod all the way to Nevada. Cape Cod.
Mr. Sproshin.
And so I said, honestly, he wanted to do the musical and get the spring musical, and that would have interfered. So we said, if you're going to do the musical and you want to do it, then we should just put you in a regular rec and not have you join the fancy travel team until next year. And he agreed to that. So now he's a good player on a regular old rec team or whatever. But I hate this whole, like, it's just money. It's just a shitload of money.
Everybody believes that sports build character. And I don't think so. Of course, I hate sports.
I think they did when you played with people who really just wanted you to learn the game and get better at it and not care about like wins and losses and tournaments and all the glory of it, right? Mm-hmm. And not everyone was secretly trying to like right now everything's programmed.
Was there ever a time that was true?
I had some pretty awesome coaches. I was never great at basketball or soccer, and I played both, and I enjoyed my time with my team. And my youngest, he's not as gifted as my oldest when it comes to soccer. He just loves being on a team and being around kids and enjoying it or whatever. Same with basketball. He likes it. And so he seems to have fun with his kids and his teammates and makes friends and that kind of stuff. And so that seems, I like that part of it, you know. I don't know. It seems like everybody thinks that a scholarship means like magic, you know, like once your kid is a soccer scholarship, then the world just opens up for them. I don't think that's true, but that's the way every sport is treated as if, and everybody has this thing of like, they were pretty good at sports. If their parents were just harder on them, they would have probably been a Division I athlete.
People think that?
I believe that's a giant lie that all parents tell themselves. I joke all the time that if young children worked, then America would win every World Cup. Because we just shout at our kids all the time playing soccer and yelling at them to download information immediately that they didn't go over and practice at all. that happens all the time with young children. I think it's super weird. I think it's super weird that people think that trying to be a Division I athlete is like the only thing to do if your kid likes a sport. I think it's, I don't know if that's the way.
Yeah, I don't experience that because I didn't like any sports.
Right.
And my children didn't like any sports.
Did your parents want you to like sports? No. Did your sister want you to like sports?
Nobody had any interest. When I would play sports, because they made me, my mother and father would go to the games.
It is a miracle that you didn't have one person in your life who made you play basketball.
I did.
Yeah.
And I didn't like him. I hated him.
Right. But it wasn't like someone in your family.
No.
No one pressured.
Well, my great nephew.
Yeah.
Is whatever he is, 6'8".
Yeah.
And no one ever even considered him playing basketball.
That's fascinating, because it seems like that's an anomaly. It seems like they just make tall kids play basketball.
Yeah.
And they hate it.
Yeah. They tried to make me play basketball. Didn't work. Jeremiah, that's just his name.
Yeah.
They tried to play, you know, and I remember Zoltan came home from school.
Yeah.
He's 16 and he's 6'6".
Yeah.
And he's not even near done growing.
Yeah.
And he said, I really thought this was funny. He said, you know, Dad, I played basketball today at school. They made us do it in gym. And you know this being tall thing in basketball? It's not bullshit. there are all these other guys who care about basketball, and I can just throw it in anytime I want. I can get it back anytime I want, and I was winning everything for the team. So it's not bullshit being tall. I said, were you interested in basketball? He said, no, not at all. But I was just interested. I thought maybe being tall was bullshit, but it's not. Helps you.
Yeah.
That was his entire experience in basketball.
Good. I feel relieved for you. My older brothers, when their kids stop being interested in basketball and just interested in anything else, like track or anything, they're like, thank God. Basketball is such a fucking mess with the amount of different leagues and different ways that people pressure you to spend a shitload of money on all kinds of trips and shoes and tournaments and all this other stuff. And they tell you if you miss any of these things, that it's just, then the colleges can't scout you and all this other stuff. And it's just so much pressure from the moment you think you like
the
sport. I think the
colleges are wide open to scout Zoltan. And I think they haven't bothered.
Well, that's this is a weird one. Is it Tim Duncan? Do you know who Tim Duncan is? Very famous basketball player, but he's from St. Croix.
Mm-hmm.
He was a swimmer. So he was like 7'2", and he was a great swimmer. And I imagine that's hilarious. I would love to have watched those races where 7'2" guys off the block.
Now, does that help you?
I imagine it can, although we don't have a history of like super tall swimmers winning a bunch of stuff. But I imagine it was pretty funny to see a 7'2" guy, you know, go the length of a pool in a very short amount of time. But anyways, a hurricane took out this high school's pool and basically all the pools on the island. Hurricane fucked up all the pools in St. Croix. And so he played basketball. I was like, oh, shit, I guess I'll just try this. And he was playing, and some traveling team ended up playing some Caribbean All-Star team, and he was on the Caribbean All-Star team. And someone made a call to a friend they had at Wake Forest. And like, have you heard of this guy? Is this guy on anyone's radar? There's some giant kid playing in the Virgin Islands that no one knows about. And so he is one of the more unique stories of becoming a professional basketball player.
Well, I guess for many, many people, it's their dream to be able to improve their lot with basketball, right?
Yeah. And if you're really into it, I get it. I think I think it's strange for the people who aren't trying to go for that crazy percentage chance that you could play Division I scholarship level sports. You used to just, if you liked sports and like being a generally athletic person, you could play 3 or 4 different sports throughout a year and enjoy yourself and enjoy the seasons and be on different teams and do different things. And that, to me, I think does help you be a more well-rounded athlete and person.
Well, you know, they say that sports build character, and certainly Zoltan and I lack character. I mean, of the kind they mean.
I think so, yeah.
We are characters,
yeah.
But we don't have our character built.
No. And I think my kid did have character, and then I told him to throw a ball at the other team's head.
Yeah.
So I took away his character.
And you just had your birthday?
I did.
How old are you, Matt Donnelly?
45.
Jesus Christ. Give up. And your son is a birthday really near you?
I still feel 44. It's weird.
Your son is a birthday real near yours?
Yes. 2 days after. I was really hoping we'd share a birthday. But we both instead just saddle Hitler's birthday.
Really?
Yeah. I'm 419. He's 421. My wife said if it was happening on 420, she just would have just kept her legs crossed. Just didn't want to have a 420 baby. Yeah. And then he just turned 8. And I was following him. He is a allergies have been bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had a little inhaler for him. I couldn't find it. I said, go change into your jams. Quickly found his inhaler, came in, he closed his door, but I came in like right behind him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, whoa. And he just screamed. And I was like, oh, sorry, pal. And he goes, no, it's okay. It's just, you know, the rules. And he gestures towards his door. And I had not seen at some point at my belly level, he had taped rules of his room on his door. And I broke one of those rules. I barged into his room mm-hmm. without knocking, even though I was right behind him or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the casualness, and he just turned 8, the casualness of which he just let me know. The rules, Dad. Rules. I just realized it's beginning. It begins. The time of painful parenting is
I will right. tell you, parenting does not get easier. And I have friends who have parents, have children who are 35, mm-hmm. 40, mm-hmm. not get easier.
Yeah, I guess, do I drive my dad crazy? Thinking I know anything about the world?
Probably.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Now, you didn't tell us about taking your children to see Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, I did not.
No.
Yeah. Shakespeare in the Park, happening around the corner from my house, a guy named Matt Morgan and his wife Heidi Morgan, they do a great job. They run the Nevada Shakespeare Company, and they were doing Shakespeare in the Park right in the corner from our house, so we thought we'll take the kids to do that. We tell the kids who are outside playing in the neighborhood with other kids, we're going to take them to see Shakespeare in the Park, and all the parents say, like, you're great parents, look at you. Trying to educate the children. Will you take my children?
Oh, yeah.
So, sure. Let's take all the kids in the neighborhood, pack them in our little minivan, and take them around the corner to Shakespeare in the Park.
Yeah.
Let's take a bunch of young children mm-hmm. to a play about two teens who fall in love and commit suicide together. Which is the thing I did not calculate as we drove our children to this park. And then it's in the park, so they're playing all around the park, whatever. And this is a little young girl, maybe 13, 14, sitting in a chair by herself. And one of the players is coming through the park, and there's a part where Romeo's hiding from his friends. So he can do an end around and go back to Juliet by the balcony, right? And so he's there, and he's a tree about maybe 15 feet from where this girl is sitting and 10 feet from where we're sitting. And he does a quick joking soliloquy kind of thing about avoiding his friends in full Shakespeare jargon. And this girl just is looking at him square in the face. What? Just, all of us fell out laughing. The biggest laugh of the show was this girl just yelling what right to this actor's face as he was hiding by a tree near her.
Did the actor laugh?
He seemed to try to not acknowledge it, but was trying to not. He could be seen trying to not acknowledge it. Later on, they have a wall, you know, a little amphitheater wall, and so they put the balcony up there, and he climbed up there. And she was like, you better get down from there. That's dangerous. one of the, you know, Juliet drinks the apothecary concoction. And one of the kids in the neighborhood turns around and says, she dead? She just drink that and die? We're like, no. And he goes, oh, so she's going to live. Keep watching. So our kids are very confused afterward that why we packed them all up in the car and brought them to a thing where we watched two teenagers commit suicide.
Well, you should know, children, that life sometimes is not worth it. Is that what?
I guess, like, no matter how you feel in your, no matter how emboldened you feel as a teen, do not fall in love that hard. Don't make it about that. I still think that show is bizarre. It still is. Basically, the maid comes and is like, yes, Julie wants to see you again, but she wants to know you're serious. And it's like, yeah, well, tell her I'll marry her tomorrow. Great. That's good news. And that's the whole play moves on that plot point. Like, that's nuts. It's a weird show. It was a mistake to bring my children to.
Well, on the other hand,
yeah,
I sat with my son and watched Suicide Squad.
More educational, less educational?
I think less dangerous than Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to put a little thing in the back of his head the government can blow up his head.
Right. Yeah.
He doesn't have that little thing to put in his head to let the government blow up his head.
He can't get that.
Right.
You can get shit to, you know.
I mean, I don't think it's on Amazon.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you'd search for.
But you can see someone stab Tybalt and think you could stab someone. That's no problem.
Yeah.
That's A to A.
Yeah. But I mean, you're going to buy, I want a little thing that I can put in my head that the government can blow up my head.
Yeah. That's hard to shop for.
Yeah, really hard to
even
shop
if they, for. Even if they have your credit card info.
Let me give you my Etsy store.
Mox is driving, and Mox has to get 50 hours on her permit to be able to get her license.
How do you log the 50 hours?
There's an app, but okay. It's mostly trusting you.
Yeah, but that's interesting. That's an evolution.
Yeah.
It used to just be a certain amount of time. You wait 6 months.
You write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And Mox's grandmother doesn't drive anymore, but has a license.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like to drive, but she has a license. And it becomes this incredible thing.
Yeah.
So Mox was stage managing a show.
Yeah.
And the school is 45 minutes away. So now Mox, in a gated community, which my mother-in-law lives in and so do we,
mm-hmm.
She drives a car alone, picks up her grandmother, drives to the school, puts her grandmother in a room with Wi-Fi and her knitting. She sits for 2.5 hours. Then they drive home. And then when Mox wants to go out for pizza with all the guys from the show,
yeah,
she brings her grandmother. It's all solved.
I mean, I just realized, you know, my children are also close in age. Not Hell on Earth was having two different diaper bags with two different sized diapers in it.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized that two different kids with learning permits is...
Well, when one of the children does not drive,
yeah,
it helps. Zoltan will not drive. He said, I got the learner's permit. That's enough. And he will not get behind the wheel no matter what.
Really?
Right.
How that, I mean, did you think that you're, because Mox initially wasn't eager either, right?
No, neither of them were eager, but Mox is now very happy.
Yeah.
And you also realize that driving is hard. Mox is very careful, very courteous driver, and still you go, yeah, bop, 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 when pulls in front of a car.
I just, getting your license was everything in high school everything. To me.
But the internet changed everything.
Is that it?
Yep. That's all it is.
Because it was like first kids driving around, first kids to pick up other friends and drive around.
Yeah.
Oh.
Get the fuck out of town.
Get the fuck out of town.
It's not a thing anymore.
Really?
Yep.
That's.
And I thought, well, when my children get that age, it's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
No, I have to push them. Very happy to take Ubers, very happy to be driven, more happy to stay home. And that's the thing that's so bothersome.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that even on a large scale level, even here in Vegas and everything like that too. I think either you're at these giant events or you want like this very catered space. I don't think, you know, we're not seeing as many DJs advertised in nightclubs. I'm sure they're still packed or whatever, but we don't see the big DJs and the big nightclubs and the big clubs being the big thing for when new properties open anymore. It seems like it's these intimate experiences and different restaurant experiences and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I don't know. I just don't know. It's just, it's crazy. I mean, I just wanted to go to every show in the world. I wanted to drive to them.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get out of home.
Yeah.
I wanted to have sex in the car.
Yeah.
I wanted all those things.
Even just get together with my friends, drive like to a diner.
Mm-hmm.
Like I started performing at, you know, 15, 16. It was the diners after the shows that was my favorite.
The best thing in the world.
By far.
Best thing in the world. Diners are gone.
Yeah.
Pretty much gone.
Well, in 24-hour, all that stuff is all.
3 a.m. at a diner
is
the happiest time you can be.
Yeah.
Got a piece of pie,
mm-hmm.
got your friends, you're telling dirty jokes.
Yep.
Now you don't tell dirty jokes, now you don't go to a diner, now you don't have pie, now you don't have friends, and you can't get there.
You have uncontrollable laughter when his friend spits soda out of his nose.
Yeah. Yeah. People at the next table getting really pissed off at you, and that making everything funnier.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. 3 a.m. at a diner in Jersey is the happiest place in the world.
Yeah.
And the weird rotating dessert thing with those pies.
Yes.
That are a foot and a half tall. You get a slice and it's just, what is it?
Yeah.
You know, the lemon meringue pie shit. It's kind of like yellow green and then, you know, really a foot
yeah.
of white stuff.
That you think is going to be fluffy and it's not.
No, it's hard. You know, it's like drywall on top of lemon pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And people are so funny that late at night in a diner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your friends will just kill you laughing your asses off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That's just gone. It's a different thing now. And when you say coffee shop now, people think Starbucks.
Yeah.
Which is a different thing. People like that and that's good.
No, and that was just starting. Starbucks was just moving into different neighborhoods when I was a teenager. But we still, you knew that was corporate and square and you had to find a real shop somewhere.
Yeah, well, in our town, when I was first driving, there was nothing.
Yeah.
Only thing open 24 hours was Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
So you drive down to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, the Inkwell in Long Branch, New Jersey just closed.
Mm-hmm.
That was a place that opened at 7 and stayed open until 3 a.m. or 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Springsteen wrote Thunder Road.
Is it really?
Yeah. The original owner, there were paintings all over the walls because the original owner took paintings as payment. If you didn't have money, you could give him art and he'd feed you. And it was a great hang because it was unlike a diner. It wasn't brightly lit. It was dim, those little red candles all over the place. And four different rooms, a house turned into a restaurant. So it was all these different rooms. That was clearly like a living room, a dining room. Oh, whatever, in a place outside. That was the best. And we that was the cooler spot to go to than a diner. And I started going there as I got older. I love that spot.
Now, Ready Rich.
Yeah.
You were talking about there being no Bally's at casinos, right?
Yeah.
And by Bally, we're talking about the talking out front of a carnival show.
Yeah.
So you've got is there a new room at one of the casinos and stuff?
No, it wasn't a new room. They just did a live concert outside, and they changed the format of the room for the night to try to catch the people walking by from the show to the garage, and they didn't even have a security guard standing out there most of the time.
Mm-hmm. From your viewpoint, no follow-through, right? That should be part of the plan.
Yeah, if you're going to pay a different guy to come in to attract a different crowd, they need to know that.
Yeah.
The crowd needs to know that.
Couldn't they put up, is the world ready for?
You know, I'm reminded of Jonesy's story about the Bellagio.
What was that?
They hired him to play piano, and he didn't do well because he did kind of too well.
Explain.
They wanted him to play background music.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And he played his thing, and he attracted his crowd, and people would sit and watch him play, and that's not what they wanted from him. Mm. They wanted, oh, look, an aquarium. Oh, look, a piano player. Oh, here's the slot that I'm going to sit at. That's what they wanted out of
him.
When you bring up stuff like this, I'm always reminded of the tactic you knew would work on Celebrity Apprentice, but you wouldn't do, which is to be skeptical of the idea that's going forward mm-hmm. and reluctantly go forward with it anyway. And that was mm-hmm. the best way to play the game, because that way you could say, I went along because I'm a team player, but I knew it was going to work and I was vocal about it earlier and you can check.
Right.
Right. Like that to me strikes it as like, all right, we can try this outdoor concert thing, but I don't think it's going to work. You know, it just feels like those are the guys that keep the jobs.
Morty, who is the producer
yeah.
on Letterman,
yeah.
said that it would often come up that Letterman didn't like a joke. Mm-hmm. And the head writer did like it. And Morty liked it.
Yeah.
And they would say, Dave, do the joke. And Dave would go, it doesn't seem that strong to me. And they said, if they left it at that, the joke would bomb.
Yeah.
But if they bet Letterman $20 that the joke would work.
Yeah.
And Letterman would bet $20 it would bomb. They said Letterman was so concerned that he'd be called a cheater, purposely tanking the joke, that Letterman would give that joke everything he had. Everything he had. And they said, if you wanted Letterman to give the best performance of a joke possible, pick a joke he didn't like and then bet him it was going to work.
That's amazing.
Because he was so afraid, they would tell him that he tanked the joke on purpose.
That's so great.
So my question here is, have they lost the respect of Bally so much, or have they lost the knowledge altogether?
They just lost. I think it's because, and this is, you know, said all the time, but there's stuff about that that's just true. All the people running entertainment in Vegas, and I can now say all the people running entertainment in Las Vegas have no background in entertainment.
Yeah.
They promote them from other departments, mm-hmm. and they're in charge of entertainment, mm-hmm. and there's none of the entertainment vibe at all with them.
No.
They see a show, and they don't know anything about the fun of it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It takes boots on the ground to get things going. And you're right that clubs accidentally have exactly what you're talking about by having promoters recruiting mm-hmm. people off the casino floors to mm-hmm. get into clubs, and so they're doing exactly what you're talking about, talking up the club and the DJ and getting you in, getting you a deal and all that stuff.
Yeah, the guy that I work for in country, he would put tits and teeth outside yeah. and the mechanical bull right in the window.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I do. I think the first casino to really start taking pride again in that kind of a thing will have an advantage of being a good spot to hang. So I think it is strange. And because also combined with the fact that I think people are reluctant to just go rush into a crowded space and have a good time because of the pandemic. Still, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when you have more of a curated experience, someone's curating your experience and help a little more handholding. I think it's important now.
Yeah. Do you happen to know? I mean, this is kind of out of the blue. Do you happen to know what toy was selected at Toy Insider's Top Summer Toys Award?
Teddy Ruxpin? Tickle Me Elmo? Yeah. Steve Austin with a bionic eye?
I listened to last week's episode, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure it's...
Because I'd forgotten.
You Lying Sack?
Oh, that's my game.
Yes.
Yeah, my game was selected by the Toy Insider's Top Summer Toys Award.
Yeah.
They sold Toy Insider's, which is... When I was growing up in Greenfield, Massachusetts with Eric Avery, you may have heard of Greenfield.
Because of Right Eric in. Avery.
Yeah.
We must find her.
I just would sit there in my room in Greenfield, Massachusetts, and just say, Jesus, if someday I could just create something that would win the Toy Insider's Top Summer Toys Award, that'd make my whole life worthwhile. And now it happened.
It has happened.
Because of the Exploding Kittens. Exploding Kittens.
Yeah.
They know how to put a game together.
They do.
I mean, I had a few ideas in it, but not a lot. It was mostly Exploding Kittens, and they're really good. I guess it's all just...
It's also neat, like, you don't think about that space having a place where someone has, like, hits and misses and, you know, that kind of stuff. You just used to being like, oh, these games are here. You know, yeah. I don't really think too much about the game. But it's got to feel good to have a hit game.
I have a hit game.
Yeah.
We have a hit game. Yeah. Me and Exploding Kittens, we have a hit game. You go... We were eye level at Target.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everything. Eye level at Target.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gonna learn this whole new thing. What gigs have you got coming up, Matt Donnelly?
I am gonna be playing May 11th through the 14th, the Downtown Grand Casino.
Who's opening for you?
Moxie Gillette.
Really?
Yes, Moxie Gillette and I will be performing together.
I took the pictures, you know.
You did?
Yeah.
Good.
Did you, those pictures?
The person who does my, RJ, who does all my media cards, will be making those this week.
Uh-huh. I took good pictures?
You took great pictures.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, Mock's going to be great. I'm very excited to put that show together.
I'm trying to get Mock's to practice, which is impossible, because when people say, it's Mock's take after her father? The answer is yes, she doesn't practice.
We got to get them a stage manager, call them to rehearsals and do it that way. That's going to be a 6 p.m. shows, all ages, the Downtown Grand. It's a House of Magic, is it? Everybody does family-friendly magic shows.
So tickets are still available. Are they available now?
Yeah, they're available. If you just Google House of Magic.
House of Magic.
Yeah. You'll be able to buy tickets.
And what are the dates again?
May 11th, Thursday through Sunday. May 11th through the 14th. I think I have those right.
May 11th, Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah. It's going to be so exciting. And then, I'm going back out to Keller's in Lake Erie.
To what?
Keller's Magic.
Named after Keller?
Named after Keller, yeah. Bobby Borgia's venue up there in Lake Erie, PA. Two shows, June 2nd.
You know, and 3rd. I used to date a girl from Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Erie?
She was a little weird.
Yes, May 11th through the 14th is correct. June 2nd and 3rd is correct. Yeah. Doing some corporate. You can't go to that. Who cares? I'm doing a bunch of gigs around Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Philadelphia in the last week of July. I'll be doing like 9 shows in 10 days or something like that. All different things. And that's all those venues, as they confirm, are up on the mynoodler.com. Come check that out.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, congratulations.
Love it.
I'm very excited about the Moxie dates.
Yeah.
I think I should be able to, you know, I have a shows every one of those nights.
I know. Yeah.
So I'll go and see Mox.
I'm totally okay. I'm totally okay with that.
I'll be sneaking out before you come on.
I've gotten Foolers, Fool Us. I've done Penn and Friends. I've done all the gigs I could possibly get out of you. No problem with you just checking out your child's show. No offense taken.
And I believe she'll be performing Stupid.
Yeah.
My Trick and one other thing.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I hope it goes well. I even had like another day pop up. I was like, oh, maybe Mox could do that too. Mm-hmm. They'll be in Edinburgh. So I'm hoping it goes well enough that we can do this more often.
Yeah. You know, we want to use Mox on Fool Us this year.
Yeah.
Mox has done a lot of the years. We have a trick for her, all written, everything. She's in Edinburgh.
Oh, right. Right. The trick where you put Moxie through glass.
Yeah.
That just aired.
Yeah. It's a good trick.
That's really fun. That was really fun. Mox comes right on stage. Puts her hands on their hips, looks kind of left and right, and spinning image of young you. It was crazy. Like, I was like, ah! When I saw it on
really?
When I saw it air. I was like, that was crazy. That's a total pen gesture and look right there.
Well, I heard that bit was great.
Yeah. And super fun.
Well, you were the one that made that great, because you gave everybody improv coaching.
I did.
You coached.
I locked everyone into their role.
Allison, me, Moxie. Didn't do anything to tell her.
No.
But Allison, me, and Moxie, told us just what we should do improv well.
It was great.
Everybody paid attention.
It was really neat, because the first take was a little all over the place, and then what aired was the second take.
Yeah.
It was. I thought I was going to help it, and then we're going to go maybe 4 or 5 takes or something. And then all of a sudden, everything cleaned up on the second take. It was great. It was a miracle.
Yeah. And we'd like to do that same premise again, but we need someone else to go in the box, because Mox would be gone. And
Zoltan's so, too big.
Zoltan's too big for anything. He sure is skinny.
Right.
But he's so goddamn tall. It's ridiculous. And I'm bothered by him living in the house. Because I'm used to being the biggest thing everywhere. And I turn around and there's someone looking eye to eye with me. I never have that experience. And, you know, really, really long hair.
Yeah.
And I just go, get out of the house. Oh, you're my son. Okay.
It's going to be, I mean, all my nephews have outgrown me, so I'm sure my children will be taller than I am. So we'll see what happens.
Well, but you also got other genes involved.
Yes.
Yeah. So I you don't know about that.
That's true.
The other side is the.
Yeah.
are the
my nephews through two different branches, Donnelly, still end up taller than me. But we'll see what happens with my genetic
right,
lot.
Right, but the low line.
Yeah,
Sarah's not tall.
She's not super tall, but she's average height.
Mm-hmm.
And then her mom's tall.
Well, apparently the genetics of my wife's did not touch Zoltan at all.
Just mini you.
He's just no mini.
Maxi me.
Because he's at least 2 inches taller than I was at 16.
Yeah.
So I think we're looking at 6'8", 6'9".
Still no interest in public show business.
No.
No sports.
No.
Finance? Law?
No leaving his room.
Instead of basketball 150 years ago, you'd be raising barns together.
That's right.
Barn raising.
Oh, I had the most typical, like, dumb dad line fly out of my mouth authentically, and I couldn't believe it. But my son did the musical. Both my sons did the musical. And then, but my oldest was in, like, a funny role. Mm-hmm. And afterward, a parent said, is that your child? I said, yeah. He goes, he should study the dramatic arts. I said, oh, what every dad wants to hear. And I love that it just came right out of my mouth. I was like, oh, weird. That was weird of me to say, considering that both his parents work in the arts. You think we shouldn't be so whatever, but I was immediately so ho-hum.
Well, most show business people will say that they discourage their children from going to the arts.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't do one thing or the other. I'm very happy that Mox does magic, but.
Right. Yeah.
Very happy.
I mean, my oldest got very good grades, so they invited him to some weird summer education program that we'd have to pay for or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they would introduce him to science and technology and engineering and that kind of stuff. He wanted to go to this program at a college over the summertime. It was a big deal. And I said to my wife, I was like, someone should teach our children that engineering exists. I don't know how to do it. I have no idea how to tell them you could. I don't know what it means to be an engineer.
I never, when I was in school, I never found out what happens to people who get good grades.
That's the feeling I have.
Complete mystery.
I'm totally lost on it.
Totally mystery.
I was like, you want to be a scientist? Sure.
Sure.
Go for it.
Wonder what you do with that.
Go there.
Audition.
Find out. Yeah. How do you audition into science school?
Sure.
I don't know.
Learn a science monologue.
Get some science headshots.
Sure.
You holding a beaker, all kinds of stuff.
I don't know, whatever it is, but yeah. But make sure you get a picture of you as a cop, too, because you might want to get that role. So that's what's coming up. And if you want to see Penn and Teller, I think you're shit out of luck. Everything's sold out. No, we're still
playing. Three more weekends before you take off?
Oh, Christ. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
More weekends here at the Penn and Teller Theater, and there are tickets available there.
Yeah.
And then we go to the sold-out land of...
of England.
Of Great Britain, yeah.
Yeah. And your show will be sold out in Spain.
And then Spain.
So when are you back?
We're back pretty much July.
July, okay.
We do all July in Vegas, then we shoot Fool Us. 20 shows of Fool Us.
Oh, man.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I still waiting for the phone to ring, but one way or another, I'll be around Fool Us, I'm sure.
Good. Hope so. Well, you have to be. There's no doubt about that, is there?
I'm sure there isn't. I just haven't gotten the call yet.
Okay. Anyway, that was Penn Sunday School. Give him a call.
I should. I'm being too. I'm being a jerk on purpose.
I would say write him an email that says, "Is the world ready for Matt Crosby?" Cha-cha-cha, you become naked. Hey, Matt, you got anybody to thank?
Yes, I want to thank the awesome people who support us over at patreon.com/pen. I want to thank Pete, not Peter, Hoke, which rhymes with Coke. I guess I was getting both those things wrong. Jake Schneider, Rachel Hawkins, no thank you, Daddy. Music Man, Crazy Cat Lady Scoop, Nicole Martin, Jacob McCulley, Ilan Lee, maker of Ylang Sec.
Yeah. Which won an award, you know.
Michael Torbay, Impossibilities Magic Show in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Jeff Bacher, Ryan Matthews, Rue Dudley, Ross Devereaux, Michael Cornwall, Nicholas Emerson, Carlos Alvarez, Fractured Adventures, Matthew Applehands, Adam Berzins, and Kelly M. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.